jump into it. All right, let's bow our heads and then we can jump in. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Sabbath. Thank you for bringing us here again. I pray as we discuss and as we read your word that you can be in our presence and that you can be with our discussions so that we get to the right lessons. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, today is going to be proper interactive, yeah? So I'm actually going to start calling names. I'm not really a calling name kind of person, but today I might even have to start calling names. That's what we're going to have to do. So the first question is, right, if you... Let's think about something that's scary. Think about something that's scary for you guys. What do you think? Something that you really wouldn't want to do?
Die.
Okay, let's not go as far as die. Something that you would stay alive for. What's something that would be really scary?
Bungee jumping.
Bungee jumping. Okay, we can go bungee jumping. What else?
I said jump out of plane.
Jump out of plane, okay.
I was going to say that as well.
I think bungee jumping is, for me at least, is a little bit scarier than jumping out of plane for some reason.
Maybe like really deep sea diving.
Deep sea diving, right? Okay, we'll
grab it. Like, you know, when you go down caves, the underwater cave, that kind of
thing. All right. Okay, so here's the question, right? Let's go with bungee jumping first. If I said to you, if you go bungee jumping, I'll give you £10,000. But the same, in fact, let's not even go say to 10,000. Let's go to 1,000. I say, if you go bungee jumping, let's say bungee jumping off the Shard in London, right? That's it. I'll give you £1,000 if you do it. But at the same time, if you don't do it, I'm taking £1,000 away from you. What would be more of a motivation? Getting the £1,000 for it or losing the £1,000 for it?
Losing.
Losing, yeah. What do you think? Losing. Cool. Jadine, Mitsa? Losing, gaining?
Losing it,
right? Okay, cool. So would you lot do the bungee jump for 1,000, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's
it for free.
That's clearly not scary enough then. Okay, let's go for something else, right? Let's say you're gonna run a marathon.
So something with a great like run.
Okay, all right, would you guys swim with a great white shark for £1,000?
So say that again.
Wow. Would you swim with a great white shark for £1,000?
No.
Nope.
Okay. If you were gonna lose £1,000, would you do it?
I'll do it, yeah.
No.
If you're going to lose £1,000, you do it.
I'll take it.
I'll do it for both situations.
Okay, you do it for both situations. Cool. What about you guys?
Yeah, no. Definitely would not be swimming. Anyway, I can't swim, so I'll drown before I even get there.
All right, cool. Hassler, right? If I said it's 10 grand now, 10 grand, you either lose it if you don't do it, or you get £1,000 if you gain, if you do it. You get £10,000, sorry, if you do it. So you either lose 10,000 or you gain 10,000.
Am I swimming with it? Like, it's not
like you
touch
have.
Me.
You have like a. You can have a swimming jacket on if you can't swim, so you'll float at least. But it's in the water with you.
Is it gonna eat me, or is it just swimming with me?
I don't know.
I take that risk.
I think they're pretty all right as long as you don't bleed. I think.
I can't take that risk.
You take the risk, yeah.
I can't take that risk.
Oh, you can't take the risk for 10 grand.
Nah.
But one thing is, I'm taking 10 grand out of your bank account. You don't do it.
Yeah. Stick it in.
Okay, let's go for another one. This is sort of one day for everyone, right? You have to run a marathon. Yeah? A marathon is 26.2 miles. Okay, so you've got to run a marathon. I think a marathon right now would probably be a struggle for everyone here. So let's say the marathon is in 2 days' time, so you don't even have time to train. Again, if you run the marathon and you complete it, you get 20 grand. But if you don't complete the marathon, you don't complete the 26 miles, you will lose 20 grand. As you're running, what is motivating you more? gaining the 20 grand if you complete or losing the 20 grand if you don't complete?
Gaining.
Interesting. That's going to make you run faster.
100%.
Okay, cool.
I think for me, still losing it.
Still losing it.
If I don't finish it.
Cool. So you'll keep running because, you know, this is going to put you in debt. So let me just run my race. Cool. Mutsa, Jodine, Hasla?
Yeah, gaining it.
Gaining it for you, yeah? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, gaining it.
Gaining it as well. Cool. Hasla?
I'm 50-50 because I don't want to lose it, but I'm all about gaining the money. So if I, for 20 grand, I'll definitely run it. Definitely.
Just imagine in the moment where you're really struggling to do your next step, what is going to make you push on, right? Is it gaining or losing?
I can't afford to lose it.
Okay, so it's the losing. Cool. Right. Okay. This is where we're going with this, right? If I told you in your Christian walk, what is motivating you more, receiving heaven or avoiding hell, what would you say?
It's receiving heaven for sure.
Receiving heaven, yeah.
I want to say mix of both.
Mix of both, interesting. What do you think?
You basically said the same thing, avoiding hell or going to heaven.
I mean, they're essentially the same thing because, you know, you are going to do both if you get one of them, right? So they're essentially the same thing. Same way in the other situations, you would both avoid losing 20 grand and you would gain 20 grand, right? So they're essentially the same thing, but we're talking about motivation, right? So if you're, as you're living your Christian life and you want to do better and you want to, you know, connect with God and you want to do that, what is motivating you more? The thought of, you know, heaven being heaven and it being an amazing place and I want to get there versus I don't want to burn in hellfire. You know what I'm saying? Either one of them could be more of a motivating factor for you than another. What do you guys think, Mutsa, Jodine, Hasla?
Receiving heaven.
Receiving heaven, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Why do you think it's receiving heaven?
Because it's more for, I think you're working positively towards something. So it's not, I don't know how to explain it properly, but let's say, so the fear of going to hell is not your main motivation. It's actually receiving God. That's what your motivation is when you're receiving heaven. Whereas if you're basically a Christian because you don't want to go to hell, it's like, I don't know. They're not explaining properly, but yeah.
Cool, interesting. And what's that?
I'll say, yeah, I think the main difference here compared to all the other scenarios we've looked at first is that in this situation, the reward is not based on something that we do. Do you know what I mean? So in that regard, I find it a lot more of something where we can look at what God is doing and keep our eyes focused on God and let that be what motivates us. At least for me, the way I see it is like that, where that's what is kind of easier to draw motivation from. You know, God is saying, look, this is already yours if you believe that I'm going to give it to you and you live accordingly.
So didn't you just contradict yourself then? You said this is something that you don't have to do anything to get, but then you said if you do X, Y, and Z, like you, that there is a presupposition to you gaining this reward, right? It's not everyone's not getting the reward.
In a way, I believe there is like this little condition, but at the same time, it's not like you have to do that on your own. Do you know what I mean? It's like God is saying, I want you to live this way, but I will also give you the strength to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's nothing, it's really only you, if that makes sense. Whereas if you have to run this marathon in 2 days time or whatever, it's you that has to run it. Do you know what I mean? It's not by our strength that we do those things. It's all right. God. Do you see what I mean?
I get you. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
Your strength, do you find it pushes you more towards the heaven side than the hell side?
Yeah, because it's God's strength that's living through me to get there, and that's what I'm tapping into, kind of thing, rather than it being, oh, if I can't do it, then, do you know what I mean? It's not something that I have to be able to do. It's through God.
I hear you. Cool. All right. What do you get? What else do you guys think? Why would you pick? I mean, most of you picked heaven, right? Tyler was kind of 50-50. Why else would you? Why would you choose heaven? What's that?
I don't know. why wouldn't you pick heaven? I don't know.
Like, why is heaven more motivating for you than hell is bad? Like, why is heaven more good than hell is bad? Put it that way, because that's what you're saying. If you're saying heaven is more motivating for you, if you're saying in your Christian walk, I'm more looking forward to hell. I'm sorry, I'm more looking forward to heaven than I am trying to avoid hell. Then you're saying heaven is better, is more beautiful than hell is bad, if that makes sense. So why do you have that view of things?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay. What do you guys think? What are you looking forward to most in heaven?
I want to be able to see, like, my life on earth and then, like, see, like, behind the scenes. So, like, see what was, like, spiritually going on.
Okay, so you want to go back to what was happening here in your life, and you see what all the spiritual dimensions were as you were going through life. Okay, interesting. It was
that? That actually just gave me an idea. Like, I want to know what majority of what it is for me, is I just want to ask God loads of questions about stuff that happened here. But that as well, spin off from that, I want to know what, like, I would like to kind of do that, like, watch a replay of my life and, like, kind of ask God what he was thinking at certain points of my life in terms of with what was going on, with what was happening, all that kind of stuff, just kind of like that. But mostly talking to God and asking him questions about things that we just don't have any real clear answer about here.
I hear that. JD, do you want to say something?
Yeah, for me, I'm saying, like, heaven is what I'm more, like, looking forward to. But at the same time, I'm, like, conscious of, like, the consequences if I don't. So I feel like I'm 50-50 as well. But I feel like, because it's human nature to, like, try and avoid the consequences. So, yeah. But what I'm more looking forward to is also, like, asking questions that I'm just wondering here on earth and no one else can answer. So,
okay, a lot of you are looking for some answers, boy. All of you are I'm going to have to enjoy. You lot are going there with a notepad. Tyler, what are you saying?
What, why are you looking?
50.
That wasn't 50. I just said a mix. The mix wasn't
50. Okay. What's the split then?
I don't know. I'm just. It's mainly. It's definitely more towards looking forward to heaven than it is thinking back. I think most of the time it's like, yeah, I want to get to heaven. It's like peace. There's no more sort of problems and suffering and all of that. So, yeah, there's times I've been like, you know, I want to ask God these questions, and half is like, would I even care? At that point, I don't want to look back on my life. I got here.
That's my perspective. I'm like, look, whatever happened, it must have been all right because I'm here. You know what I mean?
But
I've been there enjoying. But obviously, we've got the work to do in terms of looking through the books. But yeah, interesting. You know, there must be one long line to the feet of Jesus to asking questions. They must have, hopefully, they have multiple booths or something where people can ask them multiple times. Because, yeah.
I'm going to different planets. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Me and Tyler on the same vibe. I'm trying to fly everyone up there.
I was going to say, like, now that you guys mentioned it, I would actually want to watch, like, how Earth was created, like, the full timeline from then to now. So, like, that'll take a couple of years, but we'll be there for eternity, so we don't really have a time limit. And then after, while you're doing that, you can ask all the questions while you're seeing what's happening, so you get a better understanding. Yes. Then after that, just fly around everywhere. Go check out the planets and everything else that I wouldn't necessarily be able to do down on Earth.
I hear you. Flying around planets is definitely something that I'm on. I mean, we have a thousand years looking through the books in heaven, right? Before, you know, the new heaven and the new earth is made. So, you know, maybe that's the time for questions, you know what I mean? Imhotep.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what's the thing you're most looking forward to doing when you get to heaven?
Okay, me, yeah, me is I like space, right? I really like.
Oh yeah, true.
So me, I'm trying to fly, look at supernovas, look at like collapsing stars, black holes, all of it. Like, yeah, I just want to see, a madness in space, fly to different planets, etc. That'll be definitely on my agenda. Then circle back to heaven for Sabbath. But okay, cool. So everyone's generally speaking here kind of more looking forward to heaven than they are necessarily thinking about the consequences of hell. Although it's there, everyone understands, yeah, don't really want to go to hell. Heaven is more of a persuading factor. So here's the flip side of the question. I asked you why you would want to go to heaven. Why do you not want to go to hell? Let's say if heaven didn't exist and it was just hell, why would you not want to go to hell? Because your answer for not wanting to go to hell is, oh, because I want to go to heaven. That's not a correct answer. I need to actually deal with why you don't want to go to hell itself.
Because you just go to hell, you just die.
It's dark, yeah.
It's death, yeah. Eternal death.
It would just be like a lost opportunity to kind of be with God, isn't it?
No, this is the answer I didn't want. I get there's a lost opportunity, but you don't want to go to hell because you want to go to heaven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that can't that's a
okay. So this is saying there's no heaven. It's just
If there was no heaven, there was no. This is just evaluating hell as a standalone event,
right?
Or, it's difficult because as we said before, it's one and the same. Not going to hell and going to heaven is one of the same experience. Not going to heaven and going to hell is one of the same experience. But we're trying to do the two at the moment, right?
So are we thinking of hell as in the lake of fire, or are we thinking of hell as in where we just cease? You know what I mean?
Just cease.
We're thinking of hell as, okay, this is, I mean, hell is a moment, right? But there's a lot of things leading up to hell. So let's think about it as a totality, right? So you wake up in the second resurrection, right? Not in the first. You wake up in the second after the 1,000 years have passed.
Yeah,
you wake up and you figure out that you're not part of the chosen, right? Yeah. So that's peak in and of itself. Then everyone else who has ever lived that's not part of that is with you there.
Mm.
So you can imagine what that would be like. Mm. Not only that, but there's no Holy Spirit, no guardian angels, no nothing there to protect you from all of the, not only all of the people, but all of the demons and Satan himself and all the rest of it that's on the planet at this point. Right? Yeah. Now, we don't know how long that period is going to be for. Let's say it's a day. It could, I mean, it could be 2 weeks, who knows, right? But let's say you're there for a day. But it does say that Satan galvanizes his forces to try and attack Zion, right? Try to attack New Jerusalem as it's coming, right? So there's enough time for that to happen. There's enough time for, you know, all sorts of nonsense to happen there. You can imagine all of the evil people who have ever lived there, right there at that time. Then, you know, once that final battle kind of happens and is concluded quite quickly, I would assume, you see all of the opportunities in which you rejected God, where you rejected what he was trying to do for you, then all you can say is, you know what, just and right are your ways, oh God, you know, and it's such a punishment. At that point, fire comes down from heaven and consumes the whole planet. Right? That is hell. How long that lake of fire lasts for, I don't know. How long you're there before the lake of fire, I don't know. But that's the general concept of hell we're talking about. Right?
Right, okay. Yeah, I think for me, just kind of general obvious reason, like I don't like the idea of kind of prolonged pain or torture. So even though it's not going to be an eternity, that's not a very appetizing option.
Cool. Right. So the pain of the experience, the physical pain of the experience, is not something that you don't want to experience.
The physical, the spiritual, the all of that. None of it. I'm not interested in any of it.
Okay, cool. What do you guys think?
I feel like I've wasted my whole time on Earth because, like, I'm being good, trying to, like, do my best, and then I, like, will end up in hell. Like, I'll be like, I've wasted all my time. It's like, you know when you, like, revise for an exam, yeah? And then, like, you fail the exam. It's like you spent all that time revising for no reason.
For sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah. And that's, Mitz is talking more of a psychological thing there. It's like, I was right, I must have been right on the cusp. Like, I got baptized, I was in church. Like, you know, I thought, you know, things were good and I'm here. You know what I mean? How did this mess up? I got you. What went wrong? You know what I mean? Anyone else?
Just sounds long. Like, like, it's long. You know when you wake up and you just know the day is gonna be long. There's just no peace. It's just, oh yeah, yeah. It's that's stress. What it sounds
it's
like.
It's just stress. It's stress.
It's yeah. Long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you, Tyler.
I'm just vexed thinking about it. Everyone said,
like, what Mr. said really touches me, right? Because like there is like. I'll be so angry with myself. You know, when you can be angry at someone, innit? But when you're just angry at yourself, because you knew all of this. It's not a surprise. You know what I mean? It may be a surprise that you're there, but the thing that is, the fact that it is there is not a surprise. We knew it was happening. We had the plan of salvation. We had all of it. And yet I still find myself here. What am I doing here? That's what will go through my mind. I think I'll go crazy just right from then. From then, I'll be going mad. Right? Anyone else? And then obviously the pain on top of that, mercy. I mean, let me put this in your mind, right? Imagine, because you know, we all know what's going to happen, right? We all know that us fighting heaven at this point isn't going to work, right? So let's say you go, nah, I'm not going. I'm not gonna
just
imagine you go no I'm not gonna go right and try and fight heaven. I know this isn't gonna work. What do you think the other demons and evil angels and Satan himself, if he feels like he's gonna come and focus on you, are gonna do to you at that point? Do you think the coercion is nice and friendly? I don't think it's gonna be all that nice and friendly.
I think it will be.
Yeah?
In a way of, it'll be sneaky. You'd be like, look who you did. You should be there.
I don't know if even Satan is gonna go all. You know what I mean? At this point, it's all out in the open now. You know what I mean?
Honest, yeah.
I think it's just gonna be like, look, you're coming.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like Yeah, I feel like what you talked about, Tyler. That would have been like kind of now the little small voice kind of telling you, oh, you know, like, you know, you can live, you can do what you want. Doesn't matter. But I don't know, man. Like what Reese is saying, at that point, bruv, all the gloves are going to be off. Mm-hmm. If you're not coming, I feel like it's going to be mad. It's going to be like, okay, well, you're going to have to get to this tortured until you change your mind or something like this or whatever. I feel like it's going to be like that.
And I mean, torture from a human perspective is one thing, but from a demon perspective, there's a whole different kettle of fish.
You know what I mean? Mad.
That's a whole different bag. You better just march yourself along, to be quite honest with you.
at least if God is the one that kills you, he'll be merciful. Like, it will, but
just hit the hellfire and done. Hustler.
I think at that point, I don't think they would even need to torture you. They'll just be like, fam, it's gone. It's done. You're here now. That's it.
You know what? The fact that you're there means that, like, that you clearly didn't love God. So stop pretending.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They won't even torture you. They'll just be just, fam, it is what it is, man. Just join us. Well, not even join us. You are here. You've joined us.
You're already. Here. You joined us already. We're joined. You're accept it.
You're just in denial.
Yeah, madness, right? Okay, so we're still, but so given this is what hell is, right? This is what we don't like about hell. We're still happy to say, look, heaven is more of a good thing than hell is a bad thing, right? We're still there?
Yes.
Yeah, Ronald's saying, yeah. You guys, you're still there?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. All right. Cool. All right. Let's go to our Bible text. So our Bible text is found in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read from verse 24. But we're going to do 24 to 30, then we're going to jump. We're going to go from 36 to 43. So first 24 to 30.
Was it Matthew?
Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way.
When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, first collect the weeds and tie them in a bundle to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them to my barn.
Cool. All right, let's stop there. So what's that parable talking about? Okay.
Like, kind of what we've been talking about, people who are going to make it into heaven and those who aren't.
Cool, right? So it says there was, if Jesus talks about what the kingdom of heaven is like a lot, right? So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is actually in the next little bit after verse 30. But kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure you find in a field. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sows good seed in his field, right? So there's a man who is sowing good seed in his field. Now, once they've sowed all the seed and they go away, an enemy comes, and we know who the enemy is, right? So an enemy comes and sows tares in that same field, right? So among the wheat are tares. What are tares?
Thorns,
yeah. What would thorns be in a garden?
Weeds,
right? Weeds. So tares are weeds, right? So in your garden, if you're growing crops, you don't want weeds in there, yeah? So you've got good seed, right? Whatever you planted, let's say it's corn. You've got corn in there, and you've got, which is good seed, and you've got now an enemy that's coming and throwing some seeds around of weeds, right? Can you imagine? Check going into your garden and seeing the next man in there throwing around seeds in your garden. Can you imagine, right? So this is what's happening. Then they started sprouting up, and they realized, wait a minute, there's tares in the garden. What's going on, right? Didn't the master only put in good seed in the ground, right? And what does the master say?
Said someone else, an enemy came and put the weeds in there.
Cool, right? So someone else, some enemy has come and thrown weeds on the ground. So then they're like, okay, well, if there's weeds in the ground, what should we do? Should we just uproot the whole thing? Should we just take out the weeds now? And what does the master say?
To let them grow so that the crops can properly grow, and then when it's not time for harvest, take them out first so that they can be burnt.
Cool, right? So he says, let them both grow together. And we always hear this as like, you know, there's good people and bad people in the church, and you know, X, Y, Z, right? So let the wheats and the tares grow together, right? And then when the harvest comes, which is when Jesus comes again, then those who were good will be harvested as wheat, and those who are tares will be burnt. Right here we see Jesus talking about this divide, heaven and hell divide that we've been talking about, right? We're going to continue. So let's go into verse 36 to 43. This is where he explains the parable.
36 to what, sorry?
43.
Okay. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Cool. Amen. All right. So all of that was pretty self-explanatory, what Jesus was saying in terms of explaining the parable, right? What was the end of the story? What happened at the end of the story? The end of the parable. What was the conclusion?
That the righteous will be shining.
Righteous will be
in shining. In the kingdom.
And what was the end for the tares?
That they'll burn in fire.
They'll be burned in fire, and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mm. Right? What do you think Jesus' goal was in saying what he said? What was the purpose of the parable?
I see where you're going with this now. What I think is that part of the reason why he told this parable and gave the conclusion where he told both endings is that he kind of equipped the people to kind of with a bit more information to kind of make a more informed choice about what it is that they're doing, or kind of not even informed choice, but like kind of just letting them know, look, this is how the story ends. You can be one way or another. It's up to you how it ends for you, kind of thing. But yeah.
For sure. Let me ask you one more question, guys. We've talked about the what is more of a motivation, heaven or hell, right? But when you think about your Christian walk and when you think about your life day to day, how much are either of the motivations? How much do you think about heaven or hell in a week?
I don't really.
You don't? No? Anyone else? Anyone else think about heaven or hell on a regular basis?
I think about heaven fairly often. Hell every once in a while. Not as often as heaven. I think about heaven at least once a week.
Okay.
Like particularly on Sabbath. But at the very least, usually more than that, but yeah, hell sometimes, not as often.
Cool. What about you guys? You think about heaven and hell a lot? Not really.
No, I'd say similar to myself. Not as much. I don't actually think about the places as much. More the people.
Cool. Tyler, Jadine.
It's funny. I thought about both this week.
Did you?
That's why I'm trying to think. When was the last time before that? But I think it's similar to what Imhotep said, especially on Sabbaths.
Yeah, for sure. Jadine.
Yeah, I would say the same as well, like maybe during worship, but then even then it's not every worship or like Sabbath as well. So I'd say maybe once a week as well.
Okay, cool. And would you say you guys think about heaven more than hell, yeah?
Definitely. Because when I watch like a nature program, I always think of heaven. Even if I see a glimpse. So I
think animals won't be killing each other like this anymore.
I'm thinking about all the extinct animals. Like, what happened before? I get that. Okay.
Interesting. Okay, why I asked that question, right, is if we're not thinking about heaven and hell that much generally in our Christian walk, what is it that is motivating us? What motivates you, like, generally in terms of you wanting to be more Christ-like or wanting to connect with God? What is it that is pushing you towards that? And if it is, let's say it's not heaven or hell, do you think having heaven or hell as a motivation is good or bad?
So I'll answer the first question first, meaning, you know, if not heaven or hell, what is it that motivates you about the whole Christian walk? I think what motivates me, aside from heaven and hell, is that by me claiming this name of Christian and all that, whether I want to acknowledge it or not, I'm an ambassador for Christ and for Christianity wherever I go. So I've got like a responsibility in that regard. And that kind of motivates me in a way where it's like this kind of way of life is, well, there's benefits to it. And other people are not going to see that if I'm not living it. Do you know what I mean? So that is something that motivates me. And then what was the other question? Was about whether you think it's good or bad.
Yeah, like if heaven and hell became your sole motivation, do you think that's a good or a bad thing? Do you think your motivation, or do you think
I think if heaven is your main motivation, I guess if heaven was your main motivation, I don't see that particularly being a bad one. But if hell is your main, if your main motivation to avoid hell, you're gonna go to, I think that's not gonna be like a real relationship, because I feel like heaven, having heaven be your motivation in terms of being with God and all that, you can foster a real relationship and love out of that, I think, because you're going to want to be in heaven so you can be with God, right? But if your motivation is, oh, I just don't want to go to hell, then it's not really about love. It's just about fear. And I don't think that that's what God is about. So that's kind of what I think about that.
Interesting. Tyler?
I think you can also have your mind on heaven and it not be in the right place. So to say, your whole focus is on heaven, but not the God and relationship aspect. You're thinking more about, oh, okay, I want to yield the fruits. I just want to travel the space. I just want to, you know, hang with the animals, but you're kind of missing the part that you still need a relationship with God. So you're thinking, okay, I'm just going to tick the boxes, but the relationship isn't there.
I hear that. And so this is kind of what my view is similar to yours, right? Both of yours, in fact, in terms of if you think about or have heaven and hell be a motivating factor in your life too much, then it could make your relationship with God more superficial, right? So I'm only connecting with God so that I can get to heaven, or I'm only connecting with God so I don't go to hell. Right. And those to me sounded very superficial, sounded like, well, shouldn't I just love God because of who he is and the fact that he loved me? Why does there have to be a heaven for me to feel motivated to do something? And same way, you know, the punishment of hell, should that really be something that I think about a lot? If, you know, if I'm trying to connect with God, I should be doing it regardless of there was a heaven or a hell, right? But I read this text. Tyler, do you want to say something else?
No, go on. I'll speak after.
Okay. But I read this text, right? And several others like it, where Jesus talks about both what heaven is like, what the kingdom of heaven is like, but also the consequences of leading a sinful life, not accepting him as your personal savior, right? And so to some shape or form, heaven and hell is why would he push us to a bad motivation? Why would he talk so much about it if it wasn't relevant for our experience? You know what I'm saying? And so there must be some element of motivation that we can get from reading that hell is a consequence if you don't know this is the consequences of sin, versus how amazing heaven will be if we just connect with Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, Tyler, go ahead with what you're going to say.
To be honest, that leads to what I was going to say anyway. Like, for me, I feel like if the promise of heaven wasn't there, it sounds bad, right? But if that's what the hope is, you know, when we die, we will be able to be raised again, we'll be able to spend time with God in heaven. If it's just like to have a relationship with God on earth, that's the end. What's a lot of people who maybe think, so what do I actually gain? I live a good life, okay, but what? Maybe. Or if there wasn't the concept of hell, it's like, well, there's no consequence of my bad actions anyway.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter if I follow God or not, because nothing's going to happen. But you knowing that there's a consequence and there's a reward is an added bonus. Like a lot of things you do in life is like the carrot and the stick. It's like a lot of things we do, it's like work. You don't work really because you want to. You work because of the benefit of receiving the money at the end of the day. If you go to a job, you don't get the money, you're not going to get a job anymore.
Yeah. For sure. What do you guys think?
Could you reframe the point again? Listening to answer, I kind of forgot the original point.
Okay, so the point is the temptation or how you may think of heaven and hell at being a motivation is that if that is your motivation for acting good, for doing what God says, for accepting Jesus as your personal savior, so you can get heaven, and in the same breath, so you don't have to go to hell.
Mm.
Right? We somehow, it seems like at first glimpse, that is quite a superficial reason for accepting God's gift.
Right.
But everywhere in the Bible, it says that. Like, do this and you will receive eternal glory. It's littered throughout all of the Bible.
Mm.
And so how could it be such a superficial reason or motivation for us being Christian?
Mm.
If it is, like, why would it be mentioned so much? Why would Jesus mention it in this very same parable when he's talking about the wheat and the tares? He specifically goes into what hell will be like. He says there will be, you will get burnt. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It won't be a great experience. But on the flip side, it will be a great experience. It will be amazing. You're going to be like, what did it say? You will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom, right? So there's a reason, there must be a reason why Jesus is explaining the good and the bad aspects of what happens at the end of time.
Right.
Where should we place that in terms of our motivation?
Well, I think that I hear what you're saying, in the sense that, you know, it's not generally speaking, why would it be such a bad thing if it's littered everywhere throughout the Bible? Jesus himself is advocating it multiple different times in multiple different ways, right? But I think also, and in terms of where does it fit with priorities, it's a good question. But I think what also comes to mind is also the fact that perhaps part of the reason why this is such a prevalent theme in the Bible is that regardless of what we want, just to consider this point, also that God actually wants us back. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't his plan that Adam and Eve would eat the apple and that all this would happen. That wasn't part of his plan. So I think part of the reason why this is such a big theme is because God himself is like vying for our hearts, isn't it? He wants us back. As to where on the priority that should be, I'm not sure.
Cool. What do you guys think, Mitsa, Hester, Jadine? Do you think we should think about heaven and hell more than once a week? Or do you think that's too much?
I think that's too much because we don't really know what heaven, like, we know what it's like, what it might be like, but we don't really know, like, much about it. Like, we've never been there, so like, we don't really know. So I feel like it's like, we're, I don't know, maybe that's how my brain works. But like, I can't like think about something that I don't know, like, oh, I don't know how to explain it.
No, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. And so it's easier to focus on things that you can interact with.
Yeah.
In real life, yeah.
Like, I, you know, some people can like think about like what like God looks like, or like what Jesus might have looked like. Like, I can't think about that.
I hear you. Tesla, 15.
I think, yeah, more than once, of course, that thing. Do you mean like heaven, think about heaven as in the actual place, or like thinking about to be better Christians to get to heaven?
Yeah, for it to be a motivating factor, like, is like thinking about, because what heaven should do, if you're thinking about heaven, what should happen is, if you're thinking about it properly, is that you should want to go there, right?
Yes, you should think, it's, should, I feel you should think about it a lot more than just once a week. It's like, let's say, being an Olympic athlete. If you want to go to the Olympics, you're going to think about training every day. You know, try to be a better person, better athlete than you were the day before, so that when 2024 comes, you qualify and everything. So I think if we think about it in that aspect, then yeah, it should be more than once a week.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. It's a good point. Jodine put in the group, she said, I feel like it's human nature. Every decision we make, we weigh out the pros and the cons in order to make the right decision. And God knows how we are, and he's motivating us. He knows the world is a trying place, and we need something to look forward to. I don't think that it's superficial. It's our reward that we get for living the correct life. Cool. Right. So here's two perspectives, right, that I was thinking about. One is something that my mum actually said, which is part of the reason why the Bible may mention this a lot is because it's not just for us. Right. So thinking about heaven and hell as consequences may lead you to want to help other people avoid bad choices. Right. So if you know some of your family isn't living, you know, a Christian lifestyle or hasn't accepted Jesus, some of your friends haven't accepted Jesus, and you know that there is a heaven and a hell, then it should, if you believe that with all your heart and you actually love the people that you interact with, then why wouldn't you push them towards that end? Why wouldn't you let them know that those are the consequences of the life that they're living, either good or bad? Right. And so it should push you to witnessing if you're thinking about it more. That's one perspective. But the other is, I truly believe, right, that heaven is such a God-made, beautiful thing that I don't believe that you could superficially want heaven. Because essentially what heaven is eternity with God. And as Imhotep was saying, it's what God wants for us. Hell isn't made for humans, it's made for the devil and his angels, right? So for every single person on the planet, God wants heaven for us, right? And so for you to want heaven, for you to live your life as a motivating factor that heaven is your home, right? Then that can only ever be a good thing. I think, you know, if you didn't have the correct view of heaven, you could possibly, you know, want heaven in a way that's not correct. But if you have the correct view of heaven, which is essentially spending eternity with God, then I don't believe that. In fact, you should even want to live out heaven now. If heaven is just the reality of spending all of your time with God, then now is almost like a pre-heaven. You could spend all of your time with God now. And so wanting that, living towards that, that being your motivating factor, wow, I really want to spend the rest of my eternity with God, and therefore I really want heaven, I don't think it'd ever be a bad thing. And hence why I think Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven so much, because that is literally the end goal. As Hassler was saying, and I think is really important, if you're an Olympic athlete, and you're not just an Olympic athlete to get to the Olympics, you're an Olympic athlete to get the gold, right? Then every morning, you will be looking at that gold thinking, right, what else do I need to do to get there? Because that is my motivation, right? And I get the fact that, you know, our motivation should be to love God because God first loved us. But wanting heaven is you cannot want heaven without loving God. It doesn't make any sense. Because heaven is time with God. It doesn't make any sense to want heaven without that. And in the same sense, hell in its actuality is distance from God. And so if you don't want hell, again, it's because you want to spend time with God. As we said earlier, they're one and the same. And so I feel like the Bible talks about them so much is because they're really important. And I think the more time we spend thinking about our eternal lives, I think the more it will affect our lives here. Does anyone have any other points? I don't want to talk too much.
I was just going to say, I think you hit the nail on the head when talking about how, and that's kind of what the David Asherick thing that I was talking about, that I was listening to earlier, was talking about. It's not about the individual things, is about the general understanding of what we're actually talking about here. Because if you have the correct understanding, then you can actually kind of put the pieces together, kind of thing. But if you're like when you mentioned the point about essentially what heaven is being with God, or telling me, like, you can't want that unless you have a love for God, or you have some kind of desire for God. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I think having that point is really important. Having that understanding of what it is really important to wrap our head around what we're actually talking about, because, you know, especially for those of us who came in from a different church denomination or whatever, because there's so many different kind of teachings, and even within this church there's a lot of different teachings and doctrines and things like that don't add up with what the Bible's talking about, so it's very important to get that correct understanding.
For sure. Anyone else? Okay. So yeah, I would just say as a last like kind of closing point, I would say just pray about it, think about it. I think the more time, as I said before, the more time we can spend thinking about heavenly things, I think the more time we will act accordingly. The more time we think about, you know, there's a reason why it's a carrot and a stick, right? There's a reason why Jesus talked about hellfire and about gnashing of teeth and about how, what we talked about earlier, how rubbish you would feel if you woke up in the second resurrection. How rubbish you would feel if then you're face to face with demons, how rubbish you would feel that you're this close to being, you know, a proper Christian and accepting Jesus and taking that step, but you just slipped at the last hurdle, how rubbish you would feel in that moment. That's something that, you know, the more we think about that, the more likely it is that we won't find ourselves there ultimately, right? What leads you there is a lackadaisical attitude towards this whole subject. To think, oh yeah, heaven and hell will sort itself out, I'm not really too bothered either way. That attitude will lead you to slip. It will lead you to be, you know, not as on fire as you should be, right? And so, you know, having this view of heaven and hell in your mind, not that it needs to be the only thing you think about. Obviously, there's so much more to the gospel than just what heaven and hell is. But it's definitely something that I think, you know, deserves to be meditated on. Like, imagine if, you know, we said once a week, right, we think about heaven probably in a bit of a passing fancy. Imagine if a couple of hours every week we actually thought about what heaven would be like and how great it would be to get there and what talking with Jesus and spending time with God and, you know, what Sabbath would be like in heaven. Those can only be good thoughts rather than, you know, what's on TV later or what sport am I going to play or what's going, like, you're thinking about work while you're at home. Why not think about heavenly things? You know what I'm saying? And so I think there's just, there's more we can do, and I think it would help in terms of our Christian spiritual experience. But yeah, before we close, is there any other points? No? Okay. All right. Amitab, do you want to pray?
Yeah, 1 second. Okay, all right. I'm just going to pause for a bit first. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for giving us all life and bringing us all here this morning, or this afternoon even. I just want to thank you for getting us through this week. I don't know what challenges that other people have had this week, but I just want to thank you for bringing us through and putting it in our hearts and our minds to come here and spend time discussing and being interactive and thinking about you and what we believe about you and what we know about you. I just want to ask that you will continue to stir our hearts in this regard, that we just take time to ponder you and what you offer us and the promise of heaven, what that means to us, what that means to us in the sense of those around us. And I want to ask that you will just kind of guide us and continue to give us more desire to know more about you. I want to ask that you will forgive all of us of our sins that we're guilty of. I want to ask that you will, in our times of temptation, that you will remind us of what our end goal is, remind us of that you are the one who is able to keep us from falling into these same things. I just want to ask that you will be with us and keep us on the straight and narrow. I want to ask that you will use our lives as testimonies to witness to other people around us that your way is the true way, and that your way brings positivity, brings life, brings abundance in this life here and in the life to come. Just want to ask, as we walk away from this discussion, that we'll all be blessed, and want to thank you for blessing us with these thoughts and with these debates we've been having. And I want to ask that you will help us to keep the Sabbath for the rest of the day, and you'll be with us in the days to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a good Sabbath, guys.
Mm-hmm.
See you next week.
Thank you.
See you all.